Well, tonight is a special service because tomorrow we're going to kick off our second Sports Crusaders basketball camp. And we're excited because this is another opportunity to use our Family Life Center, and we'll have kids that we can host who can come from the community, and we'll have younger children in the morning tomorrow starting at 9 o'clock, and then at 1 o'clock we'll have older kids, grades 4 through 6, that'll be coming in. And so it's a chance for kids to learn about basketball skills, but more importantly, it's a chance for them to learn about Christ. And so tonight I wanted to introduce our team to you so they could share a little bit and tell about their own salvation testimony and how they got involved in Sports Crusaders and just how God is working in their lives. And I want you guys to get around them, make an opportunity to get to know them, not only tonight but throughout the week. And so, guys, why don't you come on up now, and I'll introduce you. And I'm going to get the mic that Chuck was using here. I know I told you four person. We actually have a three person team that's coming in this week to work with us. And first of all, we have Miss Chaney Hausch. And Chaney is a sophomore at Southwest Baptist from El Dorado Springs, Missouri. And I believe if I read your bio right, you're a biology major. Is that right? All right. And Hallie Davis, who hails from Vichy, Missouri. Everybody know where Vichy is? Anybody not know where it is? All right. It's just a little bit north of Rolla. If you go on 63 Highway, you'll come to Vichy. Well, it's between Rolla and Vienna. Is that right? Okay. And you're a student at Hannibal LaGrange. Is it university now?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And you're studying for nursing, right? Okay. And then finally, we have Tyler Ferguson. And Tyler is our only non-native native Missourian here. He's from Auburn, Alabama. Don't say boo out there, okay? We only boo Kansas in here, right? So, no, I'm teasing. But anyway, he's from Auburn, Alabama, and you go to school.
I just graduated.
Okay, what's your degree in?
Sports management.
So why don't you guys put your hands together and welcome these guys tonight. And I'm just going to let you go one at a time. Tyler, I'll have you go first, and you guys can just be seated there, and we're just going to hear a little bit about what you guys do and your testimony, and then I'll come up and close us out tonight.
All right, thanks, Pastor. So I am Tyler Ferguson. I'm from Auburn, Alabama, and like we just said, I graduated with a sport management degree just in May. I spent the first 4 months of this year overseas doing sports ministry and sport evangelism in the Middle East and in North Africa, and I'm looking forward to doing that again, hopefully at some point as a career. There are some steps, and it's not always the easiest thing to go into the places that I went. You actually need to be hired by the government, and so looking forward to just building the resume there and to do international missions in that capacity at some point again. Like I said, hopefully in the near future. But we're going to tell you the opportunity that we have right now for this summer, all three of us, for Sports Crusaders. Just want to tell you a little bit about the ministry. It was founded by Bobby Shouse, who played at Mississippi State. I don't know if that'll get a boo from any SEC fans in here as well, but there's one. So he played in the 60s. He played basketball for Mississippi State, and as a sophomore in college, found the Lord, and he was led to Christ. And actually, at the beach, on a beach retreat that he took in college, and the Lord began to stir in his heart for basketball ministries and doing basketball camps at that point, but there was no outlet to do that. And so after he graduated from Mississippi State, he went into recreation ministries in different churches, and he did that for a number of years, but has really been itching to do basketball camps, traveling basketball camps, and there was nothing in the area that he was in where that existed at that time. And so he started his own in the 90s, and he started using college kids, using their summers to teach basketball at that point. And it's since grown in the time. But so that started in 94, and they started traveling just around in Missouri. And since that time, it's grown. We just got back from Illinois. There's a team in Mexico right now. There'll be teams in Arkansas throughout the summer. There'll be a team in Texas throughout the summer. And it's grown from just basketball, even though that's what we're doing with our summers. But there's volleyball teams, there's cheerleading teams, there's softball and baseball teams as well. And so it's grown to be a big multinational, I guess, now, as we're trying to get into the Ukraine ministry. And so We're very thankful for the time that we've got to serve so far this summer. We're looking forward to the rest of the summer. We're very thankful for you as a church family, as a church body, to let us back here. Obviously, the team before us did well enough that we're allowed back here. And so we're very thankful for that. But each and every one of us, the Lord's laid on our heart to utilize sports. We both all three of us really love basketball. We love the sport. And that's apparent in our lives. But even more than that, we want to utilize that and make that a ministry and make it an opportunity to where we can get the gospel into places, that sometimes, it's not always as easy. Some people won't be necessarily inclined to come to another church event. But if there's an opportunity for their kid to come play basketball or their kid to come play sports and use it as a social event, kind of, then they'll take advantage of that opportunity. The families will take advantage of that opportunity for that kid to be involved. And so we're very thankful for you guys allowing us here and allowing us to do that in your community and in your church. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my testimony. So I was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents are actually overseas right now serving in Africa. They'll be coming back within the week. But they've served on the mission field and done international ministry. My dad is a pastor. He's been a pastor for, that'd be 15 years now, 15 plus years. So I've just had a legacy of faith in my family, and I was in church every time the doors were open, and got to know a lot about Jesus just from being around it all my life. And at the time when I was 9 years old, I explained it to the kids like this when I shared my testimony. The Lord convicted me that I was more of just a fan of him than actually had a relationship with him. Because I could tell all of the Bible stories. I could tell you everything you needed to know about how to become a Christian, all those good things. And I was a good kid behavior-wise. But I had no relationship with him. And I kind of explain it like I'm a fan of Kevin Durant. And I love Kevin Durant, even though he left my team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I forgive him. He won his championship this year. But I'm a fan of him. I could tell you a lot about him. I could tell you how he hit every free throw in the finals. I mean, he shot over 50% from the three-point arc throughout the playoffs. He shot over 60% from the two-point. He's done all this incredible stuff. I think he's going to be the best scorer that's ever come through the NBA. I know a lot about the guy. He went to Texas. He got to play for a really good team when he was in college, all that good stuff. But if Kevin Durant and me were to meet each other, he would have no idea who I was. I could tell you everything about him, but he would have no idea who I was. And the Lord kind of convicted me in that kind of way, that though I could say a lot about him, I could tell you a lot of facts, it was more just knowledge. I just had a lot of knowledge about him because of the environment that I was raised up around and being in church a lot. I didn't have a relationship with him. We didn't know each other. So he convicted me on my need for him and my need to have that relationship with him. And so I did that as a 9-year-old boy. I was convicted of my sin, asked the Lord to come into my life and lead me, and that I would follow him throughout anything he wanted me to do. I said, Lord, you've got it. You've got my life. You've got my heart. Anything you want me to do, I'll do it. And so from there, though I had been playing sports the whole time since I was 4, all sorts of different sports, and that was how I got connected to kids in my community. At that time, I was living around a community because of where our pastorium was, where we lived. Was in a rough part of town. I used that, I used sports to connect to some of the kids in my town and in my community. And so after I became a Christian, I started using sports and the people that I was with to influence them and hopefully impact them for Christ and to invite them into church and do all these different things with them. But I got to see at a very young age how sports helps us connect to each other. It gives us access in ways that no other thing can. Because everybody has an interest in some way or knows somebody who has an interest in sport. And so it's very easy to form relationships and form bonds through it. And so all throughout middle school, high school, just did that. And the Lord gave me opportunities to go to New Orleans to serve and do backyard Bible clubs and start leading recreation and vacation Bible schools that around the country and some different places. I got to go on short-term trips. When I was in college, I got to go to Brownsville, Brooklyn, for an extended period of time and work with kids who are in the most dangerous neighborhood in New York City. Actually got a call actually this weekend that the ministry that I served in has an opening, so you guys can be praying about that as they are trying to recruit me to go work there full time as well. But the Lord just began to stir in my heart through all these different opportunities that's what I want to do full time. That while I was studying in college, I had all these other great opportunities in the secular sports world to do a bunch of really cool stuff and to work and to do stuff for minor league baseball teams and for NFL teams and the NBA and some of the places and organizations around our area. But the Lord just kind of began to stir in my heart that that's not what he had for me full time. And so when I began to look for internships and stuff to do with my final semester of college, which was just started in January, I began to look and start looking overseas and look for places to go. I'd served in Guatemala before doing similar stuff, recreation ministries for children. And he helped me find this organization who goes into the really, really dark corners of the earth where the gospel has never been. It has a really big focus on the 1040 window. And he's taken me to places there throughout my 4 months there where the gospel had never been. And the only way that we're allowed there was through sport. And so that's what my heart's on now is taking the gospel to places where it's never been, where the name of Jesus is illegal to say, where the Bible is illegal to have, and utilize sports for a window, an access point to get the gospel there. And so he gave me numerous opportunities throughout those 4 months to build a resume over there and to work with governments and Olympic committees and all sorts of really cool stuff. More than that, he stirred in my heart and gave me opportunities to share the gospel with people and in places where it's never been before. And that's my heart full time is to go and to do that. And we were in some really risky situations, some places that you can see on the news every day, where ISIS has strongholds in. And some of the stuff that I got to see and be a part of, kind of some pretty scary situations, but there was a peace that was with me the entire time that I was over there. And I can only describe it as supernatural, and it's the power of God. And I'm just very thankful for the many different opportunities that he's given me, both where we are most secure here in a nice Baptist church in the middle of Missouri, but even more in the four corners of the earth where the gospel has never been heard and where people have no idea who Jesus is or what he's done. I'm just as thankful for both. And the same God that serves us here is the same God that serves them over there. And I'm just very thankful for this opportunity that we'll be working with your children, bringing them in. They get to hear that same gospel that's been shared in all those four corners of the earth and how we can utilize sport to do that. So I'm really thankful for this week. Thankful for these children. I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to turn it over to Chaney or Hallie, whichever one of you two want to go. But again, thank you so much.
Everyone, as Pastor David was talking about, I am Chaney, and I'm a student at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar. I'm majoring in biology, and hopefully I'm working towards my doctorate degree in physical therapy, so that's what I want to do with that. I'm going to share a little bit about my story and how I came to know Christ and what my life was like before him and after him. So I grew up in a Christian home, so I was introduced to the gospel at a very young age. Went to Sunday school, VBS, knew all of the Bible stories, knew all of the memory verses, all of that kind of stuff. And then when I was 7, I decided that I wanted to be a Christian. So at this age, I didn't really understand what that word meant, but I decided it sounded good, so I was going to pray the prayer, and I was going to do it. So I did, and started doing what I thought a Christian should do, started going to church, praying, reading the Bible. But it felt like I was just going through the motions. It felt like it was just kind of a surface deep faith. It wasn't really penetrating my heart, let alone my soul. And so for several years until I was 12. And when I turned 12, I realized that, like Tyler was talking about, I was more of just a fan of Christ and I wasn't a follower. And so when I turned 12, I decided that I wanted to be more of a follower and that I wanted to make a difference for Christ in the world. So I rededicated my life when I was 12 to Jesus and started to really take my faith seriously. I was baptized at that age as well. And, started to really put him first in my life. So that went on for several years, and then high school came, and I started to take sports a lot more seriously. I started to become very much more competitively involved in sports. And so sophomore year, I went out, and I had a really, really great year. And then during volleyball season, I blew out my knee. And I went to the doctor. He said, you know, it's a 6 to 9 month recovery time. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have to go through physical therapy and all of that. And so that really broke my heart. But also that time was the time that I grew the most in my faith. I started to realize that basketball had kind of become a god in my life. It was kind of my idol, and it was taking the place of Jesus. And I feel like that's why he allowed that to happen, is because I needed to really put him first in my life, and I wasn't doing that at the time. And so I went through the recovery time, started trusting God a lot more. I became a student leader in my youth group in my hometown church in El Dorado Springs. And fast forward to junior year, I went out and I had the best year of my life athletically. I performed really, really well. I was All-State in basketball, and I did track and softball. I was heavily involved in sports year-round. And then summer came, and I decided that I was going to play for this competitive basketball league in Kansas City. So we went out. We had two tournaments, and it was going really, really well. And it came time for our very last tournament of the year, and it was an NCAA showcase. So I was going to take that very, very seriously, and I was going to work my hardest, because my dream at that time was to play collegiate ball. And so I went out. I played really, really hard. We had played two games that day, and it was our very last game, last 2 minutes of the game, and I went to cut to the basket, and my knee gave out again. And at first, I didn't know what it was. I didn't think it was that serious. I definitely didn't think that I had blown it out again. But I went to the doctor, because it was still bothering me after that for a while. And so I finally went to the doctor. He said, you're going to have surgery again. It's a 6 to 9 month recovery time. And I was like, I've been here before. I know how this goes, and it's just, it's not fun. And so I went through the recovery process, did all of that, and that really broke my heart, because I knew that my next year was my very last year to show what I was made of. And but through that time as well, like, I was growing in my faith exponentially. I was learning how to trust Jesus, and I was learning how to put him first in my life. And so I feel like those injuries were God's way of telling me just to slow down and trust me. And God kept leading me back to this same verse throughout that time. And it's John 16:33, and it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So that has been on my heart ever since. And so that's kind of how I came to know Christ, and how I am where I'm at today. And so God has really given me a calling for long-term missions, and I get to go to Africa next January with SBU, and we get to serve there in a ministry project. And so I'm really looking forward to that, and we're super excited to be here, and I want to thank you all so much for welcoming us into your church, and we're really excited to share Christ's love with the kids in this community this week. And I'm going to turn it over to Hallie, but thank you so much.
So I, again, am Hallie Davis, and as Pastor David said, I go to Hannibal LaGrange University and play basketball there, and majoring in nursing there. So a little bit of my story. Like Tyler and Chaney, I grew up in a Christian home with really good Christian parents, and we went to church and grew up going to Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all of those things. So I had a lot of knowledge about Jesus. I knew verses and new Bible stories and all of those things. But again, after talking with my mom when I was 6 years old, I realized that just knowing those things, just going to church, wasn't enough, that I needed to actually have a relationship with Jesus. So at that point, I actually committed my life to Jesus and was baptized. And then fast forward to eighth grade, my grandpa, who we had actually been estranged from, became sick with cancer, and my family, my parents and little brothers and I, became his only caretakers. And within about 18 months, he passed away. But in his very last days, he accepted Jesus. And I just saw the relief that he felt in that and felt that relief for myself. And God really used that to show me how much knowing Jesus really is all that matters. And he really used that to give me a burden for reaching people for him and show me just how much that should be our sole purpose and goal in life. So at that time, then I really began to commit myself more to my faith, that not only did I need to have this relationship, but I needed to work at it, making it deeper and closer. So I began to spend more time in prayer, reading my Bible, reading devotionals, those sorts of things, and have just really been growing in my faith since that time. And at that same time, then, I also became a lot more committed to sports and began playing more competitively, especially basketball. And God has definitely used sports to teach me a lot, and just how to work with other people. He's given me really great coaches, been great role models, and still great friends. And he's also used that to just teach me how to persevere through things, especially like my senior season of basketball. We only had 6 players. If you know basketball, you need 5 players on the court at one time, so that is not a big team. And we just really gave that season to him, and he did some big things with that, and we won state, actually won a big tournament here in Lebanon. That was a lot of fun. So we did some things we weren't supposed to be able to do. So he's really used sports to show me how to keep going and how to persevere when things are hard, and that he can do big things with that. But most importantly, he's also taught me that we can't find fulfillment in sports, that no matter how hard we look, sports or any other avenue, we can't find it there, that we can only find it in serving him. So thus the most important thing we can do with sports is to serve him, to serve other people to his glory with it. So that kind of leads me to what we're doing here. And my start of my freshman year of college, that was last year, so last August, we had a activities fair. And the very first weekend of school, the freshman orientation weekend, and Ms. Trisha Alberts, the director of Sports Crusaders, was there, and I started talking to her because it turned out she knew my high school coach and knew some of the girls I had played with and everything, so we just started talking, and you know, I said, sure, I'll sign my name, put my name and number down to get more information about Sports Crusaders, but frankly, I wasn't thinking that far ahead, and I didn't intend to actually do it. But then this spring, Ms. Trisha started texting me and kind of recruiting me for it, and all of a sudden God was like, no, you're actually supposed to do this. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So then from there, everything, he's made everything work out, and I'm so glad that he has. We've had a great first few weeks, and as Tyler and Chaney have said, we're really excited to be here, so thank you for letting us come this week, and we're looking forward to spending it with your kids, so thank you.
Give another round of applause. We're excited to have these guys here this week. Thank you for sharing tonight. That's a great, great job. And I'll tell you what, our kids are going to be in good hands. We're gonna have a good time this week. We're going to learn a lot about basketball, but as you have just heard, we're going to also learn about Jesus Christ. And like I told you all this morning, Thursday is the day we need you praying all week, but especially on Thursday. Thursday's the day we share the plan of salvation, right? So Thursday is a day to definitely be in prayer for Sports Crusaders. Well, I want to take just a few minutes to share with you tonight what I believe is a very timely message. I know that this is really the season for missions. Summertime is when we do missions, when missions comes to us. Often it's when we go out on the field. And I loved hearing about the Africa mission trips, because you might have picked up on already, but we've got a team in Africa right now in Senegal. So that's exciting that we have that bond. And we can talk more about that. But one thing I've noticed, I've been a pastor long enough now, I've been a Christian long enough, that sometimes you can really just be knocking it out of the park, whether you're preaching or if you're sharing the gospel with somebody. And then there's other times it just falls flat. And so if we're going to be doing a lot of missions right now, if we're going to be doing missions personally, and I hope you will, and if we're going to be cheerleading and praying for and helping others that are out doing missions, then we need to understand the order of service. That's what I've entitled my message tonight, the order of service. And no, that's not what songs we sing in what order. Yes, that's what we call that, but this is the order of service when we go out and serve our King, King Jesus. So I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. Just for a few minutes, we're going to look at God's Word together tonight. And this will be a passage that you're probably familiar with, but I have to give credit, really, Steve Gaines, who is the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He's the inspiration for this sermon. Really, he helped me to look at this passage in a way that I'd never looked at it before. And that's kind of how I got this idea tonight to preach on the order of service. And so if you've found your way to Acts chapter 13, I want to read the first five verses and then we're going to talk just for a minute. I've got 3 points to make about the order of service. This is what God's Word says. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Wouldn't you like to hear his testimony? You know, we don't have his testimony in Scripture, but I sure would like to know how this close friend of Herod became a Christian and then a close follower of Christ. You know, think about it. This man became a missionary. Herod was a murderer. What an interesting testimony. That's a guy I'd like to know more about. But Manian was also there in the church. And then there was Saul, which we know is also the Apostle Paul. Verse 2 says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And arriving in Salamis, they proclaimed the Word of God in the Jewish synagogues. You'll recall that that was Paul's way of doing things. He would go first to the Jews in the synagogue, and then, depending on how they received the Word, he would go on to the Gentiles. And said they also had John as their assistant. Let me pray, and then we'll talk just for a moment about the order of service. Father, I thank you so much for this time we've had. It's been a sweet time of fellowship tonight. I've enjoyed hearing the testimony of the team, and I've just enjoyed being with your people tonight in your house. Now I pray that your Spirit would help us illumine your Word and help us, Lord, to understand how we can prepare ourselves for the tasks that you give us, the mission opportunities, and the ways in which we serve you. I pray that I'd be your servant these next few moments and that you would use me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine something with me just for a moment. Imagine that we are standing right now collectively at the gates of hell. And imagine that we have cannonballs and a big cannon and we have gunpowder all at our disposal. And imagine if, first of all, we take these cannonballs and we pick them up and we throw them against the gates of hell. And it doesn't do any damage whatsoever. And then imagine if we take this cannonball or this cannon and we ram it against the gates of hell. And it still doesn't do any damage. Then imagine if we take the gunpowder and we throw it on the gates of hell. And all it does is it just gets the gates of hell dirty. You see, we have all of the tools that we need. We have different skills and abilities. We have people that are gifted and talented in basketball and have a passion for that. Every one of you here, you have gifts and skills and abilities that you can use for the glory of God. As a church, we have lots of different people. We have diversity in this church. We have a mixture of gifts and talents and abilities. And we have opportunities, and we have things that we can take advantage of, that we can use for God's glory. But if we don't have things in the right order, it's just like taking that cannonball and throwing it against the gates of hell. Satan laughs at that. But you know what? When that fuse is lit and the fire falls from heaven, Satan isn't laughing anymore. Then we're a mighty army for God. But listen, there's an order to it. And I want you to see the order that I believe are in these first five verses in this story of preparing for the mission field. First thing I see here is that we must minister to the Lord. That's the first step. We must minister to the Lord. That's what I see here going on first. It says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. And that just reminds me that before I spend time ministering for God, I need to be ministering to God. I need to be spending time at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him. You know, I think about that story of Mary and Martha, and Martha was so bent out of shape because Mary just wasn't helping her with all these tasks. Here, Jesus and the disciples had come to their house, and she was trying to get all these things ready. And remember what Jesus said to her? He said, Martha. He said, you're so worried about these things, but Mary has chosen what is best, and it won't be taken away from her. And so the best thing that we can choose to do is to spend time with God. I like what Brother Johnny Hunt said one time. He said, worship is seeking the face of God and not the hand of God. I want you to think about that for a minute. So many times I go to God seeking the hand of God. God, will you help me with this? I really need help with this sermon I'm going to preach tomorrow. I really need help counseling this person, or I really need help when I'm going to do this ministry or this mission opportunity, when really all I need to do to start out with is just worship God. I need to minister to God first. God inhabits the praises of His people. And that's really what we've been made to do. We have been created to be worshipers of God. And I know that y'all know, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but you know what? When Brother Gaines was sharing that in this message, it reminded me, you know what? Sometimes I get the order of service mixed up. Let me read the rest of what Johnny Hunt says. Worship is seeking the face of God, not the hand of God. Once I seek His face, He seems to always use my hands for His glory. Isn't that good? So first thing we do is we minister to the Lord. Give our hearts to God. Give our hearts to God in worship. Then the second thing we do is we minister from the Lord. We minister from the Lord. And that just means that we've got to let the Holy Spirit move in and through us and take control. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work inside of us. That's why Paul says not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but rather to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a conscious choice that I make. Man, it's foolish to go out and do anything without first being filled with the Holy Spirit. And really, that means nothing more than surrender. It just means that I say, I am willing. Lord, I want You to take control. I will do what You want me to do, but I need You. And you know what? We need to let the Spirit empower us. We need to be a Spirit-empowered church on Spirit-empowered missions. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through local churches that equips and prepares believers to go and do ministries that we couldn't do any other way. After all, didn't Jesus say in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. And back in the text that we were just reading tonight, it says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then after having fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. But see, it was the Holy Spirit's directive. And it's the Holy Spirit that needs to be leading us. You filled with the Spirit tonight? If you're filled with the Spirit, you can accomplish great things for God. But then there's a final thing in this order of service. First, after we have ministered to the Lord. Second, we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we minister from the Lord. Thirdly, and finally, we minister for the Lord. That just means that we go as His ambassadors. We go as His representatives. Whether we're sports crusaders, or whether we're Christians representing the Lord in our workplace, in our neighborhood, on trips when we go and we represent Him all over the world. But this is the final step. Once we have spent time worshiping the Lord, then being equipped by the Lord, get after it. Minister with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Use those gifts and skills that you've got. Use that voice that God gave you. Use that platform or that opportunity. You know, I heard Brother David Platt speak at the IMB dinner. And Dr. Platt, he has been visioning thousands of everyday, average, common Christians who are called to the mission field. And maybe they're called because their business opportunities take them overseas, or because they've had other connections or opportunities. And so, wouldn't that be awesome? We sat in a room, guys, during this dinner, and Gina can attest, it was powerful. And he had this this circular piece of paper at each of our placemats. And it was divided up like a pie. And he had us write down how many people we thought God might be able to call out of our church from different demographics. From our senior citizens section, or from our youth, or from business and professional sections. And all over that room, people wrote down just what they would dream that God might call out of their church. And just in that room at the Southern Baptist Convention, when that was all tallied up, there were over 20,000 missionaries that could have come out of that group to serve God overseas. So just imagine what God might do when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read just a couple of quotes here. This is a quote from a guy named Vance Pittman, who's a very successful church planter and pastor in Las Vegas. He says, "If I am not engaged in the mission, there is a deficiency in my daily walk with Jesus." And that's a man who's on fire for the Lord because he has ministered to the Lord. He has been equipped by the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and now he's going out for the Lord. Francis Chan. I know some of you guys love Francis Chan. Man, I love him too. He's a great, great ambassador. Francis says, "Sometimes we look at missionaries like they're a special breed. We each have an immeasurable greatness of power available to us. The Holy Spirit has given to us so that we can be witnesses." All of us are missionaries. And finally, this is what Chan says, "If we are really men and women in love with the person of Jesus, a missionary spirit is the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's out of the overflow where ordinary people are made missionaries." So I want you to think about that illustration in closing tonight. We've got all kinds of programs. We've got talent. We have resources. Just like Tyler was saying, this is a great church. And we have everything at our disposal right here that we can use. We've got the cannonballs. We've got the cannon. We've got the gunpowder. We've got it all that we can aim right at Satan. And we can penetrate the darkness. We can take down the forces of hell. But we've got to get the right order of service. Make sure, and I'll do this too. Let's make sure that we are ministering to the Lord. We're worshiping Him daily in our quiet time and our times together. Let's make sure that we are ministering from the Lord. That before we go out, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We've taken care of the sin in our lives, and we're not letting anything keep us from God. We're close to Him, and we go out filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, let us go out and minister for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's bow together. Father, I thank You so much for this reminder that we've gotten as we think about the call and the commissioning of the first missionaries in the church at Antioch. And God, this was a mixture of people too. I think about Mannion and Saul and the different folks that came out of that setting. There were different leaders. They were gifted in different ways. And so we too have different passions, and we have different ministry and missions opportunities. And God, I pray for all the different missions that will take place this summer. Lord, we do want to lift up Sports Crusaders right now. And I pray that each of these young people, that Hallie and that Tyler and Chaney, would sense Your Holy Spirit. They'd be filled with Your Spirit and already are filled with Your Spirit as they get ready to minister to these kids this week. I thank You for their call, the call that You put on their lives. And I thank You for first for the call of salvation. And God, I thank You that all of us as saved, born-again believers in Jesus Christ are first and foremost worshipers. Thank You that we can sit at Your feet, that we can worship You in spirit and in truth. Nobody else in the world can do that. Only those who are followers of the one true God through Jesus Christ can worship in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray that as we are worshipers, that we would also just sense Your leading. And just like Tyler said, just say yes to You wherever it is You send us, whatever it is You want us to do. God, help us to be people that are so in love with you that we want to be on mission for you, and we welcome every opportunity. We talked about Jonah this morning, even those Nineveh assignments that aren't really thrilling. God, help us to see that if you're at work, you'll give us a heart. You'll give us a love for those people, and you will use us in ways we could never expect. And then finally, Lord, I just pray that we would be ministering for you everywhere we go. God, help us to realize that all of us are missionaries. Every Christian is a minister, and every Christian is a missionary. And I just thank you for these reminders tonight from Acts 13. God, I just pray that you'd have your way in this invitation. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to come forward and pray at this altar or needs to make a decision, God, I pray that you would, as you've been speaking to hearts, that you would prepare them and help them to not be ashamed or afraid to come and to draw near to you. Thank you again for this time we've had tonight, God. We love you and we praise you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.